If you would, turn with me to the book of Galatians, chapter 5. I want to look at some verses here in Galatians, chapter 5. In this chapter, Paul is dealing with the problem that was plaguing the church in Galatia, churches in Galatia. And that was these Judaizing teachers that were coming and were teaching the Christians there that they really couldn't be considered faithful Christians in God's eyes unless they went back and started observing the law of Moses. And specifically, one of the things was circumcision for all the men. And Paul is rebuking them for this. And I'm going to read just a few verses here, beginning in verse 1, he says, "For freedom did Christ set us free. Stand fast, therefore, and be not entangled again in a yoke of bondage." So he refers to there the old law, the law of Moses, as a yoke of bondage. And he said, you've been made free from that when you became a Christian. And in verse 2, he says, "Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you receive circumcision, Christ will profit you nothing. Yea, I testify again to every man that receiveth circumcision that he is a debtor to do the whole law. You are severed from Christ, ye who would be justified by the law. You are fallen away from grace." So, he's very, very straightforward and very clear in his statement. If they're attempting to justify their doctrine and their teaching based on the law of Moses, that it's wrong. That they're not living under that law anymore. They're living under the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that applies to us today. And I'm not going to continue on through all of this, but I want us to skip on down, because the point that he's making here is if you go back to these things, you'll fall away. And let me move on down to verse 9. He makes a point here, a little leaven at the whole lump. So he makes the point there, just if you accept some of these things, that you're going to leaven the whole lump. And so he's encouraging them. Just cling only to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what we should be following. And in verse 10, 11, he says, "But I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why am I still persecuted? Then hath the stumbling block of the cross been done away." So he makes the point there. I'm not preaching circumcision. Don't think that he is. And I think these false teachers were falsely accusing the apostles of having preached this. And he's saying this is not true. But then, let's move on to verse 13. In verse 13 he says, "For you, brethren, were called for freedom. Only use not your freedom for an occasion to the flesh, but through love be servants one to another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another." And here he's kind of turning the discussion a little bit and making the point that here he's talking about our relationship with one another and the freedom that we have. And you remember these false teachers, these Judaizing teachers, what they were trying to do was to basically tell the Gentiles who become Christians, you've got to go back and you've got to follow the law just like we did. And that wasn't right. And in fact, what they were trying to do was trying to get them to follow after them. And the point that Paul's making is, you were freed from that. As a matter of fact, the Gentiles never lived under that law, and they didn't have to live under that law because they had obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he makes the point there that you're not supposed to use the freedom that you have as an occasion to the flesh. And when he talks about to the flesh, I think what he's talking about is to promote yourselves, you know, to promote yourselves over others. And the point that he makes here is that the law says you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And if he says you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one another. Then continuing in verse 16, and this is really getting into the heart of what I want to talk about tonight. Verse 16, he says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are contrary the one to the other, that ye may not do the things that ye would. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law." he makes the point here that we're to walk by the Spirit. And remember, God sent his Spirit, and Jesus promised us that when he left, when he went back to heaven, he would send the Comforter, he would send the Holy Spirit, who would guide us and remind us of the things that he taught, and then guide us into the remainder of the gospel that they weren't ready to receive yet. And that was the purpose of the Spirit. And he's telling you, be guided by the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit. And if you are led by the Spirit, he says, you're not under the law. Then in verse 19, he continues, he says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousies, wraths, factions, divisions, parties, envyings, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I forewarn you, even as I did forewarn you, that they who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So he gives a pretty clear description of these things of the flesh. It's all the lusts of the flesh that we are tempted by constantly. Satan is using every one of these tools on a daily basis to try to tempt us to follow after him. And when we do, we fall away from God. And the point he's making is you can't do that. You've got to remain walking in the Spirit. And then he tells us more about what that is in verse 22. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And they that are of Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with the passions and the lusts thereof. If we live by the Spirit let us also walk. Let us not become vainglorious, provoking one another, envying one another. So he goes back in this final verse here. First he tells us what the Spirit is. So he had a clear definition of what the works of the flesh are. Then he tells us the works of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. And then in verse 25 he makes the point, if we live by the Spirit, let us walk by the Spirit, and let's not become vainglorious, provoking one another, envying one another. So he goes back to this bickering that was going on between the Judaizing teachers and the Gentiles. And I think it's a clear message for us today. We don't necessarily have to deal with these Judaizing teachers in the church today, but we do have to deal with the temptations of the lust of the flesh. Satan will use those temptations on us daily to try to cause us to deviate from God's path and to go back into the world. And this is very, very serious. It's more serious than anything you can imagine, because we're talking about life and death here. Eternal life and death. That's what we're discussing. So then, continuing in chapter 6, in the next few verses, he says, brethren, even if a man be overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, looking to thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. So, continuing this line of thought here, he says, if a man who's overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, and who are the ones that are spiritual? The ones that he just talked about. The one who are following after love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. Those are the ones that are in the Spirit, that are following after the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, as he's revealed God's Word to us through the Scriptures. And he says, anyone who's overtaken in any trespass, what's that mean? It's talking about somebody who has been caught up in these lusts of the flesh. He's been caught up in sin. And the point that he makes is, those of us that are spiritual, which should be the vast majority of us here tonight, those of us that are spiritual, if we have someone among us that falls away, what do? Do we, talk about how horrible they are and attack them? No. We show love towards them. And he says here, we restore them in a spirit of gentleness, looking to ourselves, realizing that we ourselves could fall easily in the same pattern. So that's the attitude that we should have towards one another. Continuing there in verse 3, he says, for if any man thinketh himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each man prove his own work, and then shall he have his glorying in regard of himself alone, and not of his neighbor. And here's a very also a very important point. In verse 5, he says, "For each man shall bear his own burden." We all are going to be individually responsible when we have to face God in judgment. So in the judgment day, when God asks us to give account of ourselves for our behavior, for our actions, for our thoughts, for our deeds, for our words, we may say, well, somebody in the church treated me hatefully, and therefore I left. Or somebody said some bad things about me, and therefore I gave up. Or somebody in the church was a hypocrite, and I gave up. And you know, those things might be true, but it's not going to matter. Because you personally have to stand in the judgment of God. And we saw what happened in the Garden of Eden, right? When God confronted Eve, what did she do? She immediately said, well, it was Satan. And God didn't let Satan off, but he also didn't let Eve off. And then when he confronted Adam, what did Adam say? Well, it was a woman. And God dealt with Adam for Adam's sin. He dealt with the woman for her sin. And he dealt with Satan for his sin. And the same thing will apply to us in the judgment day. Continuing, I want just a few more verses here, beginning in verse 6 of Galatians chapter 6. He says, "But let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." So now he's going to talk to us more specifically about judgment. And that's what this is talking about. What you sow, you reap. He's dealing with judgment here. And in verse 8, he says, "For he that sows unto his own flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth unto the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. So then, as we have opportunity, let us work that which is good toward all men, and especially toward them that are of the household of the faith." So I hope these words have been encouraging to you tonight to continue to fight that battle that we all fight. And you know what? We're going to fight that battle every single day that we're left here on this earth. We'll never reach this point of spiritual maturity where we can say, I've won the battle, and I can sit back and relax. Paul never did that. Paul said he had to buffet his body daily and bring him under subjection. So we'll never get to that point where we say the battle's over until, as Paul said in 2 Timothy, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course, finished the race. And he knew then, at his death, the battle was over. And that's what we've got to do. We've got to fight all the way until death. So we're going to sing this song, "Is Thy Heart Right with God?" And as we sing this song, it's an opportunity. If you're here tonight and you need to obey the gospel of Christ, if you've never been baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, that can happen tonight. We've got a baptistry here, and we can do that tonight. If you understand that's what you need to do, to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, because that's what the Spirit tells us to do. That's what Jesus told us to do. If you are a Christian and you've fallen away and you need to be restored, or if you need the prayers of the congregation, anything that we can do to help you, don't be afraid. Come forward and let it be known as we stand and sing.